Touch the palate of the child, and that whets the appetite for that is to come. And they have the privilege that I did not have, and many of you did not have, in that they're being taught the Word of God early in their life. And hopefully they'll absolutely fall in love with the Word of God, and it will be precious to them all the rest of their lives. This afternoon, we'll be having a business meeting at 6 o'clock, and sandwiches will be furnished during that time. We kind of get folks prepared for business meeting by some kind of mellow defense that they can't turn down. Well, anyway, and deacons will meet at 4 o'clock. So you come back tonight, and we're going to talk about what we're going to do Christmas morning here. We have the cantata and the children's program next Sunday, and then the next Sunday is going to be Christmas. And we're in the discussion of whether or not to have Sunday school. And so those of you that are Sunday school teachers, you'd want to come and voice your thoughts on that tonight at business session. We may just have our worship time and preaching at 10 o'clock. And then that would conclude our services for the day. So we would only have one service on Christmas Day. We will come and celebrate the birth of our Lord. Take your Bibles. Now see what a privilege it is to have the Word of God in your hand.
Amen.
This changes lives, you know. The Bible says that it is alive. It says of itself it is alive. It's quick and it's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And we're going to read from that wonderful word this morning. So if you would find Luke's Gospel, the first chapter. And when you find that, say amen and stand together. Some of you haven't found it, I guess, or your amens are really quiet. Amen. Luke 1 and beginning with verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that are highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end.
Amen.
Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now turn over to the second chapter of Luke and look at verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenus was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one unto his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Our Father, we come before your throne of grace and mercy. And Lord, how weak we are today. And Lord, because we're weak, we sure do need our spiritual eyes opened. Amen. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts and our thoughts and our minds today to your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, I have used this title and I have preached from these passages many times in the last 43 years, but it never ceases to grab my heart and my imagination when we tell the story of Jesus. I tell you, it is such a magnificent, magnificent thing that you and I celebrate at this time of the year. Now, I like all of it. I don't like it as well as my wife does, but I like the lights. I like the gifts. I like all that goes on. I love to have the family gathered around us and the things that happen during Christmas time. But this the main part of this celebration, of course, the thing that is real about this is that God sent his son to be our Savior. And so whether it was at this time of year or not, we still have set aside a time that we celebrate his coming. We celebrate this time together that God sent his son to die for our sin. Now, one of the things that I really want to get across today, and I'm going to say this again. My old college professor said, tell them what you're going to tell them, then tell them, then tell them what you told them. Now, I don't know how good a job I do at that, but at the same time, it's grace, folks. This is all about grace. It is undeserving on our part. The coming of Jesus was not an afterthought or plan B because man couldn't work it out. That is not true at all. From the beginning of time, this was all laid out for us, that a Savior would come. When we studied the Old Testament, and we've been doing that the last couple of Sundays, and talking about the prophecies of the coming of our Lord, and you'll hear that all during this season, of the prophecies of the coming of Jesus. And all of it, just think about it. Before you were a twinkle in your daddy's eye, God had you on his mind. Amen. When you were on the cross, when he was on the cross, you was on his mind. when he created the universe and set the stars in their orbits and in their place and created the earth and the animals and the trees and the flower and the grass and set everything in its place, you and I was on his mind. I'll tell you, with my little pea brain, it's really hard for me to grab hold of that. But I'm telling you, dear friend, today, if you don't hear anything else from this message, you understand that God loves you.
Amen.
And he sent his son, and he loves me, and he sent his son to die on the cross for my sin and for your sin. When the extraordinary comes to the ordinary. Let's look one more time at Luke 1 and look down at verse 28. And the angel came unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee." Highly favored? Was she the daughter of the king? No. Was she of great wealth and influence? No. She was a poor girl, highly favored, very fortunate. "The Lord is with thee, blessed is thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying. I mean, my goodness, you can imagine. And she cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Don't be afraid. Fear not, Mary." When you do a little background on when God speaks to people, when his angel speaks, how many times he said, "Don't be afraid." When Jesus met the disciples after his resurrection, he told them not to be afraid. There's times when God said, "Give respect." But there's times that he says, "Don't be afraid. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Now look at verse 33. "And he shall reign. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever." For what? How long? "Forever. And of his kingdom." Are you hearing me today? Hey, listen. He hasn't lost control.
Amen.
He hasn't. Nothing has changed about this passage. He is still in control, friends, and needs to be in control of our life. "And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Let's look at Gabriel's announcement to Mary. He doesn't appear as a naked baby with wings, does he? Sometimes we get the wrong idea about angels. Some artists have given us some fictional things that we've got set in our mind that's not true. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that there's times that we would entertain people that we did not know. It calls them strangers, unaware, and they're actually angels. I wonder how many of those that you've run across. Or how many opportunities that you and I have had that we did not take, and it was actually an angel unaware. Oh, I think there's a possibility there. Well, it's a fearful sight. One thing that he tells Mary is, "Don't be afraid." When he spoke to Zacharias, he said the same thing. And the shepherds were afraid, but there wasn't anything to be afraid of. This is good news. You know, if someone calls on the phone and they bring you bad news, I've been in the presence of folks that got bad news before. And where there was weeping and wailing and it was tragedy. But I'm telling you, this is good news. The coming of Jesus is good news. It's marvelous news. Well, he said three things to Mary. He said, you're highly favored. He said, the Lord is with you. And he told her that she is blessed. Well, you know what? In the life of every Christian, this is true. When the extraordinary comes to the ordinary, when the extraordinary comes to the ordinary. Listen, friend, this is good news, and this is the truth in all Christians' lives. In Ephesians 1 and verse 6 says that we are favored because he hath made us accepted in the beloved. In Matthew 28 and verse 20, he tells us, the Lord is with us. Matter of fact, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that good news? That's wonderful news. That's marvelous news. In Ephesians 1 and verse 3 tells us that we're blessed. Do you know what it is to be blessed? To be blessed. Sometimes that word is translated happy, but most of the time we miss out on what's happy and what's blessed, because we account happiness with the happenings, whatever is happening right at that time. Do you remember when Jacob wrestled with the unknown by the brook? I actually believe he's wrestling with Jesus. This is a pre-carnate incident where Jesus comes and he wrestles with Jacob, and Jacob gets his hip out of joint. And he, because God lets him, or Jesus lets him, he gets a hold on him and he's hanging on. You get this picture? They're wrestling. Jacob gets a hold of him and he's hanging on. He says, let me go because it's getting daylight. No, he said, I won't let you go. You remember the words? No, I won't let you go until you bless me. And so he blessed him and he changed his mind. He changed his name. Thank you. He changed his name. And here he comes back from the wrestling match. And he looks like that he's been sent for and couldn't go. He looks like someone that's been jerked through a knot hole. His hip is out of joint. And he's limping and dragging one leg. And someone asked him, Jacob, what's going on with you? And he said, I've been blessed. I've been blessed. See, we get the wrong idea about happiness and blessing sometimes. Was he blessed? He was blessed, my friend, because he wrestled with God. And he got the victory.
Amen.
He wrestled with God and he got the victory. Well, did Mary know at this time what all this meant? Did she know about the announcement? Did she know Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign? Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. When the extraordinary comes to the ordinary, this was an extraordinary event. Look at John's gospel. John 1, and look at verse 1. John 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is real important doctrine right here. The same was in the beginning with God. Get your theology straight. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Boy, this is what I've been waiting to read. But as many as received him, have you received him yet? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you asked him to forgive you of your sin and come into your heart and be your Savior and allow him to change your life? But as many as received him, they would have to do their very best to make it on out the rest of the trail. Is that what that says? Man, let's get our theology right at this point. He gave to them power, supernatural power. Now, I want you to know I failed a lot of tests. Have you? When I was put to the test, I failed lots of times. But it never has been God's fault. Because if I would have surrendered, if I didn't do it Lanny's way, if I'd have done it God's way, he gave me the power to pass the test. Amen. Every time. Doesn't mean because I failed the test, I didn't lose my salvation. I caused a lot of trouble and with other people. But it didn't lose my salvation. And you won't either. He gave the power to become the sons of God to even them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. An extraordinary event. God became poor that you and I might become rich, according to 2 Corinthians 8:9. I read that last Sunday. He became poor that you and I might become rich. Think of it. It's all him. See, it's not about us. It's all about him. There's this extraordinary hope. And the hope is grace. It's not how well we can do. Folks, I wish I could get that across. It's not how well we can do. It is grace. Amen. It is grace. Doesn't give us a license to sin. That's not what grace is about. Grace is unmerited favor. It's that we do not deserve. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and verse 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man would have a bragging right, would boast. We're saved by grace. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds, are you hearing me? Grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder, it depends on whether you're hillbilly or city. On Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilt, dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? You hear the words of that song? Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. That sin stain. What can avail to wash it away? Oh, look! There is flowing a crimson tide. whiter than snow you may be today. Marvelous. Marvelous. Infinite. Matchless. Grace. Freely bestowed on all who believe. All who are longing to see His face. Now listen. Will you this moment His grace receive? Grace. Grace. God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse. Amen. Within. The extraordinary came to the ordinary. Joseph and Mary were ordinary folks. According to Leviticus 12 and verse 8, it tells us that if a woman has a child, she's to bring an offering to the temple, a lamb of the first year. If she can't afford a lamb, she's to bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons. Well, when we get to Luke 2 and verse 24, we find out that Mary and Joseph brought the pigeons, not the lamb. They had the lamb. Another group, and I like this part. I like the shepherds. Now, I wouldn't want one of them living close to me. You'd have to keep your stuff all locked up. But I like. Folks, we need to get hold of this. That God gives the message to the world. He didn't bring it to the king's house. He brought it to some lowly shepherds out on a hillside somewhere near Bethlehem. And they shared that with the world. You see, God's ways are not our ways. And the Bible says that His ways are past finding out. If you think that God cannot use you, you are mistaken. If you think that there is something that has gone on in your past that keeps you from being everything that God wants you to be, you are mistaken. He wants to use you. There's this angelic announcement. They bring good tidings. Literally means preaching the gospel to these shepherds. They were a social outcast. Someone said, as a class, shepherds had had a reputation. More regrettable was their habit of confusing mine with thine as they moved about the country. They were considered unreliable. Were not allowed to give a testimony in the law courts. They announced the birth of a Savior, which is exactly what we needed. We don't need another advisor. We don't need a reformer or a committee, but we need a Savior. After the single angel's announcements, a whole group of angels appeared. A heavenly host, the Bible says, a band of soldiers. And they proclaimed peace. The world then and the world now. And you as an individual, the greatest need in your life is peace. The Bible says that the Lord brings peace. Now listen to me. Peace that passes all understanding. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It doesn't matter the hang-ups. It doesn't matter what kind of tags you have on your life that says this is blemished a little bit. This has got a thread pulled loose in it, or this has got a spot on it we can't get out. Your greatest need is peace, and the Lord brings the peace that passes all understanding. No matter how tremendous, no matter how tough life is, He brings, that's what He came for. And see, He says, I came that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly.
Amen.
Now, your choice. It doesn't seem like much of a choice to me. It just seems like that everybody would choose Jesus. I can't imagine not choosing Jesus. It just seems like that would just be the thing to do. But some people will spend their lives, they'll listen to message after message. The Holy Spirit of God will convict them, sermon after sermon, song after song, witness after witness, buddy after buddy that tries to tell them about Jesus. And they'll just keep on rejecting Jesus. Their heart will become hard. And the Bible says, my spirit will not always strive with man. Now, I know that has a lot of other doctrinal implications there. But I believe that a person can reject Jesus long enough that their heart will become so hard that they can no longer feel the knocking at their heart's door of the Lord. You see this picture up here on the wall? You know what that is, or what it's supposed to be? We don't know what Jesus looked like. That was the artist's imagination of what He looked like. And there's a lot of imagery in that picture. If you'll look at it, He's got a shepherd's staff in His hand. He's a good shepherd. If you'll look at that door close enough, you'll discover that it doesn't have a handle on the outside of it. There's no way to get in from the outside. It means that the door has to be open from the inside. Now, I want to make sure that you understand my theology right here at this point. In the book of Revelation, the 3rd chapter in verse 20, the Bible says, behold, that starts that verse out with the word behold. That means to listen. You know what behold means? It means to point your attention to that. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, I understand that when we study that passage, that there's coming a day in the latter days, which you and I are living in, that many, many, many churches, Jesus is going to be on the outside, and he's standing at the door knocking. But right now, if you're not a Christian, Jesus is standing at your door knocking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, this means any man, boy, girl, behold, I stand at the door knocking. Now, you know, if you've studied that passage pretty close, you'll understand that those are continual actions. He continues to stand there and He continues to knock. But my friend, if you just keep putting Him off, if you just keep turning away, there's going to come a time that your heart will become so hard that you'll no longer hear Him knocking. And if He's knocking on your heart's door today, you better do something.
Amen.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, that means any man, that means humanity. That means any man, boy, girl, teenager, child, old man, old woman, middle age, right at your prime. You think you're right at your prime, it'll overtake you before you know it. If any man hear my voice, are you hearing me today? If any man, not important that you hear me, if you'll hear Jesus. If any man hear my voice and open the door to me, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. I was sharing that little story with an old classmate of mine named Jim. And I went through the plan of salvation, and I shared that verse. And I said, Jim, if Jesus walked down your driveway and came up and knocked on your door, would you let him in? Knowing that he wants to come into your life and change your life and live in your house. And this was Jim's response. He said, he's welcome in my house, and he can sleep in my bed. I said, okay. Would you ask him right now to come in? We got on our knees, and old Jim with his old white head and his white beard bowed his head, and I led him in the sinner's prayer, and he asked Jesus to come into his heart to be his Savior. Now I want to ask you today, would you ask Jesus into your heart as Savior? If God's dealing with your heart today, and you're here and you're not a Christian, would you ask Jesus to come into your heart? Would you let him in your house and let him sleep in your bed? Let him live in your house? Let's stand together. Matt's going to lead us. Our musicians are going to come. And if God's dealing with your heart today to make a decision for him, maybe you're already a Christian. Maybe God's speaking to your heart to become a part of this fellowship. Maybe you hadn't followed the Lord in baptism yet, and that's something you need to do. You need to become a member of this church today, or you need to recommit your heart and your life to him today. There's just something on your heart, and you're going to make it right today. As we sing, we invite you to come.